Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest. Pretty neat place for a network, actually, to originate from. I bid you all good morning, good evening. Welcome to another edition of the best in live overnight talk radio, the largest as well, where you never know what is going to happen, where I never know what is going to happen, and that goes for tonight, once again. All right. Welcome, I'm Art Bell. The hurricane season is heating up. This just came off Reuters. Check this out. It's going to be a quickening kind of night, I can tell you. The already busy Atlantic hurricane season got even busier Tuesday. Tropical storm, get this one, Humberto, and two new tropical depressions, I said two new ones, are brewing in the Atlantic. The National Hurricane Center says Humberto, with winds near 65 miles an hour, will probably turn into a hurricane Wednesday. That storm off the coast of the Cape Verde Islands in the western Atlantic, about 1,100 miles east of Humberto, an unnamed tropical depression has formed east of the Lesser Antilles. Forecasters expect that depression to strengthen, possibly becoming a tropical storm named Iris by Wednesday. Another tropical depression is swirling off the Andros Islands in the Bahamas. Forecasters say it could dump heavy rains on southern Florida. Now, I told you it was going to be a big... So have a lot of people. Told you the hurricane season was going to be fierce this year. And so far, they're right on the money. And it's just beginning. I mean, this is the opening chorus, folks. Of what? Well, I knew about this story yesterday, but I really didn't want to comment on it until today, because I wanted to be sure I had the details correctly, and they were a little unsure yesterday, but they're not unsure today. It began with a late-night traffic accident in Detroit. And it ended, incredibly, with a woman jumping to her death from a bridge over the Detroit River. While dozens, now get this, dozens of people stood by and hooted and hollered and cheered. Now, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, as I said, on a bridge over the Detroit River. Witnesses say they saw a 33-year-old young black lady, Aletha Word, drive her car into another car, in other words, an accident. The other car contained three young guys. Angry, one of them took a crowbar and smashed all her windshields in. They dragged her from the car and ripped most of her clothes off during the scuffle. 30 to 40 people watched all of this and cheered and called for her, in fact, chanted for her to jump from the bridge. She did. Of all the people there, as many as 40, two of them, at this late stage, decided to try to save her, jumped in, tried, but she was dead. The driver of the car, 20-year-old man, has been charged with second-degree murder. Her mother's comment, the mother of the dead young girl, said, "You know, I wouldn't treat a dog that way." Even NBC yesterday said the story stands as more for what it says about our society. And what does it say? 30 or 40 people watched the attack on this young lady, watched the clothes ripped from her, watched her terrorized, and as they watched, cheered for her to jump. Now, I don't even know what to ask about this. In Detroit, there are 500 murders a year, give or take a few. I guess I would first ask, should they, the 30 or 40 people that chanted for her to jump and cheered when she did, should they be charged with something? Now, you can't tell me, you can't tell me that this doesn't mean something profound and sad and hard to even discuss about our society. When have you ever heard of such a thing before? I don't know what to say about it. I'll let you say it. I wonder whether these 30 or 40 onlookers and cheerers ought to be charged with. I don't know what they'd be charged with. You know, inhuman behavior. I don't think that puts you behind bars. Maybe it ought to. Maybe it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe the price of life has fallen faster than the American dollar, and there's just nothing we can do about it. It is the end. If not the end, then certainly the warning bells of the end. In Rwanda, some more bells chiming, same type. Remember the horror last year in Rwanda? The hundreds of thousands who died, macheted to death, then more than a million that fled Rwanda to Zaire. The thousands who died there now, guess what? Zaire has set the whole thing off again. They are kicking out the Rwandan refugees. In fact, they're doing it at gunpoint. The Zaire government is forcing hundreds of thousands of refugees to go home at gunpoint. They will simply no longer tolerate their presence in Zaire. A year ago, over a million crossed the border to escape the brutal civil war. The Zaire army, as it is pushing these poor refugees along, is in the process burning, beating, raping, looting, whipping. The United Nations has been told to not interfere. They are there. They are watching all of this go on, and they are supplying water when they can to the refugees. That is the totality, apparently, of the ability of the UN to do anything about anything. As usual, they're not able to accomplish a damn thing. Iraq. I thought so. Today, Defense Secretary Perry said, quote, there is no evidence that Iraq is preparing to invade its neighbors, end quote. Well, that's pretty plain. No evidence Iraq is preparing to invade its... this story felt wrong to me. But we sent yet another, I believe, 1,300 troops just dispatched to Kuwait. Something is up. Something felt wrong with this story. What are we doing? Obviously, we're pushing Saddam and cooking a little bit of the of what's fed to the American press. And when I heard that story, it felt a little bit cooked, and I told you so. O.J. Simpson. There was a threat yesterday by the judge to throw television out of the courtroom again. The judge thought the lawyers were playing to the cameras, which of course they are. There will be a ruling on the tapes, the incredible Furman tapes, next week. It's beginning to get dangerous. Racial tensions are growing. If cameras were pulled, would you cheer or cry? And with regard to the Furman tapes, isn't this process of slow leakage very, very dangerous immediately to Los Angeles and its environs? Again, Reuters, OJ expert finds mystery prints. A forensic scientist has testified that he's found, get this, a second set of footprints at the scene where OJ Simpson's ex-wife and her friend, Ron Goldman, were murdered. Dr. Henry Lee said the prints could not have been made by the shoes prosecutors said Simpson was wearing when he allegedly committed the murders. He also said the mystery prints could not have been made by Goldman's boots. He'll be back on the witness stand when they resume this debacle on Wednesday. And this comment, hi Art, love the show. By the way, this one will get you. As the wife of an ex-wife, I guess this is, of an LAPD officer, I can tell you my opinion of the whole O.J. Simpson, Mark Furman mess. I believe O.J. did it, and he will get off because of sloppy and or questionable work by LAPD, the coroner's office, crime lab, and prosecution. As for Furman, I know his racism was not only tolerated by the LAPD, but sponsored, fostered, and supported by it. Any officer who bucks the status quo won't be able to wear enough bulletproof vests. He or she will pay, most likely with his or her life. I can't hate or outright condemn my ex-husband or his fellow officers, because I've seen how each one goes to war every day, as long as they last. Imagine fighting in Vietnam or Kuwait for 20 years. Those who do make it to retirement have totally altered outlooks than those of us who lead civilian lives. And let us civilians not forget that there is a vast population out there that feels no compunction to abide by the same laws we automatically obey. We are perceived as holders of the goods they want, and the police are perceived as the enemy. I'm a civil servant, too, but not expected to put my life on the line every day for everybody else. The officers are expected to do that. Even their most vocal critics expect total sacrifice on the part of the police, with just one 911 phone call, no matter what circumstances led to the call. What's the solution? I have no idea. I find it a pity, though, that Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman had to die like they did to bring this mess to light. Now I bet O.J. gets his kids back. There's no justice here on Earth. Maybe when O.J. meets his maker. In America, latest survey says 80% of American parents want their children to get a college education, but only 30% think they'll ever be able to afford it. Death and Texas. I said Texas, not taxes. That was an NBC story, and I'm trying to calculate my attitude about this. It is a story down there in Texas that you Texans can help out with. It involves a young model and an old, now dead, billionaire. He was 89-year-old J. Howard Marshall, an oil tycoon worth an estimated $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion. She is 26 years of age, a model, very good-looking, an actress. She apparently had a five-year courtship with our billionaire, an 11-month marriage, during which time she was given, $1 million in jewelry, a $50,000 a month expense account, and after an 11-month marriage, he up and died. Now, Apparently, the billionaire's son, by a previous marriage, somehow got hold of power of attorney and has cut her off. And so he now, I guess, controls the money. The attorneys are going back and forth on it. But I don't even care about any of that. Here's what I've got to say. It will sound sexist, and who cares? If I was a billionaire, and I was 89 years old, 89, mind you, and I wanted a 26-year-old, and she wanted me, well, let me put it this way. My attitude is, good on you, you know? I mean, if he wanted to go out and get himself a 26-year-old and court her and give her diamonds and all the rest of it and marry her and, who knows, maybe bed her, well, then more power to him, you know? I mean, it was his life, his money, and he had a right to do what he did. So that's my attitude when you get to that kind of a story. You know, it's his biz. He made all the money. And as far as I'm concerned, he's got a right to spend it the way he wants to spend it. And if it means he's going to spend it on a 26-year-old 10 on a scale of 10, well, then more power to him. And I really don't have a problem with it. I know that relatives do. Dear Art, regarding the story that Noah's Ark may have been found atop Mount Ararat, first off, we've got to confirm it really is Noah's Ark. It would seem to be in the correct general vicinity. What else that is bigger than the Queen Mary and buried in a mountain in Israel could be there? Actually, Turkey. If it is confirmed to be Noah's Ark, there would be sweeping changes in the religious community. A major part of the Bible and Christianity would be confirmed in scientific fact. So that would prove that Noah existed. That all the animals went two by two into the ark and that there was a massive flooding that wiped out everything that was not on the ark. This would change a lot of people's opinions about a part of the Bible that some was pretty unbelievable. Just something to think about till we see if it really is the Ark or not. And in a moment, I have from a friend in Missoula 40 ways that you can hasten the quickening and help destroy the earth. You're sure not going to want to miss these. Now, you will not hear all 40 because I considered about 4 or 5 of them to be not advisable to broadcast, but you will hear the remainder. Mike in Olympia, regarding the story up in Detroit, said, once again, we are tragically shown the necessity of the need for at least a 5-day waiting period for crowbars and federal legislation restricting automobile gas tanks to less than 10 gallons. And then this. It's just been a real joy lately, you know, fathers gluing their 5-year-old daughter's eyes shut with super glue. Mothers in Chicago tossing children out of windows. Children tossing children out of windows. Now the story in Detroit, the mother in South Carolina. And this. Art added to your list of child killings. Supposedly, Saturday, at a local San Antonio mall, a 9-year-old boy from Colorado who was visiting for the past 2 weeks with his dad in San Antonio went into a restroom at the mall. He didn't return. According to his father, he searched for him, but found him missing. 15 hours later, on Sunday, the father finally reported the incident to the authorities. 15 hours, folks. The same day, Sunday, the poor child's body turned up in the river. Autopsy revealed the boy had succumbed to severe trauma to the stomach and chest area, and the child also showed signs of previous abuse. The father questioned extensively, but let go for lack of evidence. He was kept under surveillance, however, as the most likely suspect, the only suspect they had. Tuesday, after making contact with the man's 27-year-old girlfriend who was in Tennessee, they apparently developed sufficient information to justify arresting the 35-year-old father. He was picked up without incident at his apartment and is now under a $5 million bond. Suzanne in San Antonio. So, you know, I don't know how much more of this junk I can read. It's becoming a daily event. I don't know if that's true, but I do know we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
Five-year-old girls with their eyes glued shut by their fathers. One of them, anyway. Mothers in Chicago throwing their children out of windows. A woman in Detroit jumping off a bridge just because she's attacked. Then there's the mother in South Carolina. Pretty weird, huh? A lot of people think it is a sign of the end, the quickening, whatever word you want to attach to it, it doesn't matter. That's just the one I use. So I was sent this over the internet. People these days are constantly harping about the upcoming Armageddon. But when is the world going to finally end? Most people don't realize that it can't happen without their help. Below are a few little things you can do to help end the world. 1. Use motor oil to fertilize your lawn. Feed lead to pigeons. I won't number these. Vacation by your local polluted river. Serve chlorofluorocarbons as appetizers at your next party. Find the remaining woodland in your town and use it for kindling. Leave your car running all day. Drive to the bathroom. Spray your yard with DDT and not those other wimpy pesticides. Pour Agent Orange into your local reservoir to enhance the flavor. Wear only polyester. Never more than once. Become a megalomaniac and gain control of vast nuclear stockpiles. Use them. Dump your food leftovers into the recycling bin. Keep the bubonic plague virus around as a lovable, low-maintenance pet. Use at least 3 gallons of water for each tooth when brushing. Create an oil slick in your backyard for fun science experiments for the kids. Have 37 children. Name them all Bill. Strangle a bald eagle. Spread styrofoam balls all over your lawn for winter fun all year round. Email Al Gore petitioning to test nuclear arms above ground in major cities. Offer free cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs to all pregnant mothers. Own at least 43 television sets per person, per household. Watch them all at once. Build a simple coal-burning power plant in your basement. Remove your catalytic converter and muffler They just ruin the fun anyway. Aim X-ray machines at unsuspecting patients in the dentist's office. Sunscreen? It's for wimps. Carve holes in the ozone layer. They make great gifts. Drive an M1A1 Abrams tank to work. Develop condominium complex in beautiful Chernobyl. Develop a secret neurotoxin that makes females pregnant. Oh, I can't say that. There's one I missed. Buy something you don't need every day, three times a day. Dump it on the freeway. Work for the government. Aerosol hairspray can be used for a lot more than personal grooming. Putting up posters, cooking lubricant, antiperspirant, ant and roach killer, personal defense, and party favors. Burn your own garbage for fun and profit. And finally, enclose dead relatives in lucite blocks. We hope these simple ideas will inspire you to create your own methods to drag the planet further into its own grave. Remember, every person counts. So, it's come to this. So, I think I'll open the lines, and with that as a setup, heaven only knows where it's headed. Here we go. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. I have several appearances scheduled in the next several days. I think in the morning, tomorrow morning, I will be on KCMO in Kansas City at about probably around 9:30 Kansas City time. Then I have an appearance somewhere in Ohio. I'll get that one for you. And on Friday, I think I'm doing a morning show for KFYI in Phoenix. I think that's lined out. So it's going to be a very busy week depending on where you are. You might listen for my... Now, you've got to bear in mind that by, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, it's beginning to get to be late evening for me, so even more than usual, I'm liable to say about anything. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Bell. Yeah. I was only kidding about your work on Saturdays. can I comment on the Mel Reynolds conviction?
No.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, okay, I don't care. Yeah, that's big news, of course.
Well, one of the big jokes or something I was told years ago that the people that are most vehemently anti-gun are really the biggest crooks on earth, and they sort of use gun control as a smokescreen to mask their own illegal activities. What do you think of that?
I'm trying to think of how it is you're connecting that to the conviction.
Well, just look at some of the most vehemently anti-gun people in the past.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what does Reynolds' conviction have to do with guns?
Well, it seems that people that are themselves very immoral and engage in immoral activity sort of crow on the gun control thing as a smokescreen to cover their own types of activities.
Why didn't you just start off on gun control? The two have nothing to do with each other.
Well,
I mean, gun control is what you wanted to talk about, right?
Mel Reynolds is one of the most vehement anti-gun people out there. And I'm just saying that in the history of Congress, if you look at Biagi, he was a gun controller. He was later convicted. And old Tom Gard of Connecticut was put out of Congress. I'm just drawing a correlation between some of the people that are vehemently gun control are, in a sense, some of the biggest criminals themselves.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll take that. It is true that it seems like people who preach constantly about morality are frequently themselves then the target of or convicted of something rather immoral. I mean, go back to remember all the troubles with television ministries and all the rest of it. These guys who preach and preach and preach. And I've got to tell you, there's been a couple of instances in my own life naturally, I'm not going to name anybody, but I mean, people have been real preachy. Preachy, you know. You got to follow God's way, they'll say, and it's almost annoying to be preached to the way some of them do. Very high and mighty on morals. I'll tell you, some of these people, and this is a truth, and I don't care whether you believe it or not, have turned out to be thieves, cokeheads, low class. I mean, it is the most, and I was the one who got preached to. I got preached to by these lowlifes. Turned out to be lowlifes. And you want to hear something even weirder? After they were caught stealing and more, they kept on preaching. You know, preaching to me. I actually flipped my top at a situation a few years ago, which I won't go into. But, you know, it's not necessary that I do. I'm sure you take my meaning. So from that, in that spirit, I understand exactly what you were saying, sir. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Ah, postman calling from Memphis.
Oh, well, good. Turn your radio off.
I got it off.
That's
good.
That's
my first time calling.
Oh, from Memphis. Glad to have you, sir.
Well, we almost didn't have you. We started off with a top 70s music format on a news talk station. That was kind of strange.
Well, somebody threw the wrong switch or something.
Oh, well, I got a hold of their news desk and asked them to look into it, and they said they would.
How long was the top 40 on?
About the first 10 minutes of your show.
10 minutes, huh?
I guess we didn't live too much. I got you on WAI, though.
Well, we live in the electronic age.
Right. I just don't know what else to say, except I wasn't prepared to get through this early.
Well, when you're dialing over there, you know, then you should imagine you might get through.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Make positive thinking come through.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about people and religious people pointing the finger. And
I
work with the Postal Service. I see a lot of the religious tracks come through, and one of the things I notice is whether they talk about themselves and their own beliefs or whether they spend a lot of time putting down the other beliefs. It tends to be, you know, like Jimmy Swaggart pointing a finger at Tim and Tammy Baker and then a few months later saying, I've sinned.
Yeah. I know. Sir, thank you. I take it right down to my personal life. I told you. There's a couple people, maybe even three in my life that have been that way. I mean, you almost can't be around them because they're so damn preachy about morality. And I'll be damned if they're not the ones who turned out to be thieves, dirty dealers, totally screwing over their neighbor and their business associates every opportunity they got. In other words, the lowest of the low and the preachiest of the people I've ever known. It's you know, there are a lot of people, and I don't mean to disparage them, who are quietly moral and quietly ethical, and I applaud them. But I'm telling you, look out for the ones that make a lot of noise. At least that is my personal experience. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Carson, California, Art.
Okay.
Yeah, that is west of the Rockies.
It is, yes.
And
your telephone is still no better than it was 2 years ago.
Well, Art, I don't have time to hook up my real phone. I mean, it's a real phone, but it's... I just wanted to say that Chuck Carter has Stanton Freeman on. He's down at the Telford Hotel doing a seminar for the next couple of days about Roswell and so forth.
Oh, yes.
And I was hoping you'd try to get him on your show if you could this week or sometime soon.
Well, I've had him on many times.
Yeah, well, it's good to have on again.
Let Chuck have him for a while.
Okay, anyway, about the story in Detroit, I was absolutely flabbergasted when I heard about it yesterday. And I don't know what to say except I think that...
Well, do you think people who cheered this on should somehow face some legal penalty?
Well, I don't know what to charge them with, Art, because they are almost cheering on the murderer. I mean, they according to yesterday's account, even though it got straightened out today, one of the accounts had the woman hanging on the railing for dear life, and the attacker is beating her on the fingers with a crowbar till she let go and dropped into the river.
Uh-huh.
That was the other account, which was a more chilling account, and I just assumed that was probably what happened, along with the cheering and the clapping and the laughing. And one bystander tried to get someone with a cell phone to call 911, and they refused while this was going on.
Hey, sir?
Yeah?
What do you do when you're constantly throwing conspiracy theories up against the wall and they won't stick?
You chuck them?
You chuck harder.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm part of that. And
have a good morning, sir. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Unbelievable.
Really?
See, you're easy to get hold of.
Well, there you are.
This is just only the second time it rang, and it probably only redialed 12, 13 times.
Well, it's like it's kind of like a lottery.
This is Mark in Albany, Georgia.
Hi, Mark.
You have talked a lot lately about child abuse.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a very pertinent subject for today. One thing that I haven't heard mentioned on any talk show, and I listen to an awful lot of them during the day, is circumcision. And I'd like to know your feelings about that and hear some callers and what they think about the needless amputation of a body part on infant males, you know, without their approval or you know, what do you think about it? What do your callers think about it?
Well, I don't know if I care. In other words, a lot of people consider it a medical procedure that is performed for cleanliness throughout life, and I don't think it constitutes abuse. So, so I don't, you know, from an abuse point of view, my answer would be I don't think I care. No, it's up to the parents, huh?
Well, I just think, well, I disagree
with
that.
It's not abuse.
I don't think that amputation of a body part should be
necessary. It's not amputation. Amputation is when you actually remove a member. That is not what occurs, sir, and you know it.
Well,
all right, well, I thank you for the call, but I don't follow your abuse charge, and I don't think it's big, important, or even very tasteful issue. And I think it's up to the parents. That's what I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
Hey, I was listening to you the other night, and a gentleman called and asked you if you believe that aliens had anything to do with our evolution.
Hmm.
And you commented that...
I said I don't know.
Well, I was just wondering if you believe, in your personal opinion, if they've had, in the past, you know, far past, if they've had any manipulation on our progress.
Beats the hell out of me. I said, I don't know. I meant, I don't know. I have no proof of it. I have people who come on and talk to me, all kinds of guests with all kinds of credentials, who say all kinds of things. Now, maybe you can help me out here, sir. Do you have proof?
Well, I don't have tangible proof, but I've been doing a lot of reading, you know, about like Mayan calendars that go 400 million years into the future. They have astronomical maps.
Yeah.
They have
and we got the Bible too.
Yeah, well, and they also calculated thousands of years ago the rotation of the moon, which today, if they calculated it, they differ by like 0.4 seconds.
I've got books that could convince you about anything if you want to read them. But, you know, until I can put my hand on it, until I see scientific proof one way or the other, my answer remains, I don't know.
Okay, can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
I heard the story about how people believe that they may have found Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat.
Yeah, oh yes.
Okay, now, did I hear you correctly when you said that... satellites found it like in 1947 or 48?
No, I said there was an earthquake on the very day of the creation of the nation of Israel in 48, and that then later they found the Ark through satellite imagery later.
Do you know how long they've seen the, or have known about it? Since, you know, Now they're
I really don't. Not that many years. And they are going on a dig, and we'll know soon. And can you imagine if it is Noah's Ark? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. Let me turn my radio
yes,
down.
Off.
How are you? It's a wonderful program. I enjoy you so much.
Thank you.
I'm from Texas.
I can almost tell.
Oh, really? That much?
Yeah.
Okay. On the divorce in the state of Texas, it's a community property state.
Right.
But anything that he had before he married her, she's not entitled to. Only monies gained after they were married.
Bearing in mind, he's a billionaire, was a billionaire. That could still be a lot of money.
You can imagine the money that's been, that's just in interest and investments that
he's
gained.
Sure.
Since he's been married to her. So she is entitled to half of that.
Where are you in Texas?
I'm in San Antonio.
San Antonio. Well, you know, tell me something. I've got a big secret to tell the people in San Antonio coming up here shortly.
Oh, goody.
But listen. What do you say about what he did?
I say that was his choice. He knew what he was doing. He was certainly not a slow man, or he wouldn't have been a billionaire. He knew what he wanted.
That's right.
And I'm sure that he got a lot of satisfaction out of just being with her.
Well, that part we may never know about, but I mean...
Well, I don't necessarily mean physically.
I
mean being around her.
That's right. I mean, my attitude is more power to him, and frankly, at 89 with a billion, I might do it myself.
Yes.
On that note, I'm going to have to go. Listen for the surprise. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
Before we get into the serious news, good morning. Those stations that join us at this hour, you know, those stations that actually join us at this hour, you guys ought to call those stations and ask them to carry the beginning of the program at 11 o'clock Pacific Time, because you've missed a lot, and I can only sort of recap. Before I get into the serious stuff, this is from Bryn Marie in San Francisco, who never fails me, listening to the mighty KSFO. And some guy called up and said that he thought there was another star system out there sending messages to Earth, and that the government was receiving them but not telling us. I said, well, what are they? And he said, well, I don't know. So then I started wondering. You know me. If you could, you know, interstellar messaging is very expensive. It's not like a pager or something. And so if you could only send one sentence, one message to Earth, what would it be? I already have a couple of answers, my facts. Here's Bryn's. If I were living in a parallel universe and had been observing Earth transmissions for years and could only send one message to this planet, it would have to be something considered after long hours of thought and observation. Here's what I'd send. If the minnow was only on a 3-hour tour, where did Ginger get all those dresses? And this, top secret, message from Sister Solar System, send more episodes of Dreamland. Signed, Gecko, Goleta, California. Well, by the way, to once again announce, the good people at WOAI, the monster in San Antonio, are going to begin running Dreamland this Sunday, and we've got several other joins, and Dreamland now hits or sits at 139 affiliates, maybe 140 by week's end or more. It's amazing. There are four, maybe no less than five would-be hurricanes out in the Atlantic right now. Very serious ones, most of them in the process of strengthening. And you attribute that to whatever you want. Maybe this. It began in Detroit with a traffic accident, ended with a young woman, terrified, jumping off the bridge to her death. While dozens of people, as many as 40, stood by and cheered and watched and chanted for her to jump. About 3 a.m. Saturday, witnesses say they saw 33-year-old Aletha Word drive her car into another car. It was an accident. That car containing three young men. Angry, one of them jumped out of the car, took a tire iron, smashed her windows, dragged her from the car, ripped her clothing off. During this, the crowd is loving it, right? 30 or 40 people watched, cheered, and finally she did it out of absolute fear, jumped off the bridge. She's dead. To their everlasting credit, at least two people did try to save her after the fact. The driver of the car 20 has been charged with second-degree murder. The mother of the dead girl said, "I wouldn't treat a dog that way." Even NBC yesterday, mystified at the story, said it really stands more. I mean, there's 500 murders in Detroit every year. But they said it stands as a comment on society. What our society has become, you tell me. I was wondering if the people involved in that should be charged with something. You know, the ones that were chanting for her to jump off the bridge. There's really nothing to charge them with legally. But I got a fax here. Is that Art? How about conduct unbecoming a human? I'd really like to know what those 40 people are feeling right now. 82% of the American people say they want their children to go to a college, but 30% think... Only 30%, rather, think they can afford to send their children to college. Then there is the death in Texas story. Not taxes, Texas. The young model and the old billionaire. This is an 89-year-old guy dead now, J. Howard Marshall, an oil tycoon down in Texas, worth, they said, about $1 billion. 89 years old. At 89, he married a 26-year-old, Easy 10, I mean, beautiful woman, just beautiful. God, beautiful. Model, actress. There was a 5-year courtship, an 11-month marriage, $1 million given to her in jewelry, $50,000 a month in expenses, and now, of course, everybody in the family is going to fight. I guess his son, by previous marriage, got power of attorneys, cut her off, and there'll be a big fight and probably a settlement. But, you know, when I think about this story, I think the 89-year-old guy with $1 billion, you know, maybe in his 88th year, he decided, what the hell? Let's have some fun. I've got $1 billion. I want a 26-year-old. And maybe it was true love, and maybe it was for the money, and, you know, I don't know that I care. It was his money. He did what he wanted to do with it. If it had part of the, you know, and I'm sure some of the enticement was the money. So what? So what? He says. The guy did what he wanted to do, and it's his life and his money. That's my attitude. Then people started sending me stories of more child tragedies, you know, to make my day. 9-year-old boy in Portland killing his 5-year-old sister with daddy's hunting rifle. First, they thought it was accidental. Now, police have charged the boy with murder. Another case in southern Washington about the same time where two young children got the parents' Magnum out, a .357, playing Nintendo, a fight. One shot the other with the .357. And I've got more, but I don't want to read them. It's like I've had it. If this is not the quickening, the one we had the other day, the five-year-old little girl who had her eyes glued shut by daddy with super glue, that was nice. The mother who threw her baby out of the window in Chicago. The woman in Detroit that I just told you about, the mother in South Carolina. And so, somebody sent me this, which I will now reread on the internet. It's very cynical, but here is how it reads. Comes from Missoula, Montana, by the way. Entitled 40 Ways, and I'm not reading all 40, You Can Help Destroy the Earth and Hurry the Quickening. People these days are constantly harping about the upcoming Armageddon. But when is the world finally going to end? Most people don't realize it can't happen without their help. Below are a few things that you can do to help end the world. Use motor oil to fertilize your lawn. Feed lead to pigeons. Vacation by your local polluted river. Serve chlorofluorocarbons as appetizers at your next party. Find the remaining woodland in your town and use it for kindling. Leave your car running all day. Drive to the bathroom. Spray your yard with DDT and not those other wimpy pesticides. Pour Agent Orange under local reservoirs to enhance flavor. Wear only polyester, never more than once. Become a megalomaniac and gain control of vast nuclear stockpiles. Use them. Dump your food leftovers into the recycling bin. Keep the bubonic plague virus around as a lovable, low-maintenance pet. Use at least 3 gallons of water for each tooth when brushing. Create an oil slick in your very own backyard for fun science experiments for the kids. Have 37 children. Name them all Bill. Strangle a bald eagle. Spread styrofoam balls all over your lawn for winter fun all year round. Email Al Gore petitioning to test nuclear arms above ground in major cities. Offer free cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs to all pregnant mothers. Own at least 43 television sets per person, per household, and watch them all at once. Build a simple coal-burning power plant in your basement. Remove your catalytic converter and muffler. They simply ruin the fun. Aim X-ray machines at unsuspecting patients in dentist's office. Sunscreen, it's for wimps. Carve holes in the ozone layer. They make great gifts. Drive an M1A1 Abrams tank to work. Develop condominium complexes in beautiful Chernobyl. Develop a secret neurotoxin that makes females I can't read that one. I should have crossed that out. Work for the government. All right, end this. Aerosol hairspray can be used for a lot more than personal grooming. Putting up posters, cooking lubricant, antiperspirant, ant and roach killer, personal defense, and party favors. Burn your own garbage for fun and profit, and encase dead relatives in lucite blocks. We hope these simple ideas will inspire you to create your own methods to drag this planet further into its grave. Remember, every person counts. Then you have to wonder what the other star system is going to say when it begins to get... Now, they're probably still seeing Lucy, right? But eventually, they are going to begin getting the O.J. Simpson trial, which continues later today, unless they decide that it shall not be so, and that could happen. The judge threatened to take it off TV yesterday, saying the participants, the attorneys, were playing to the cameras. Gee, I haven't detected that. How about you guys? Playing to the cameras? What a charge. Anyway, the ruling next week on the Furman tapes is going to be made. Now, I don't know whether I believe this one or not. I think not, but it's entitled New Spin for Needle, and it shows a picture of the Seattle Space Needle from the air, you know, looking down on top of it, and it says the top of Seattle Space Needle is painted to resemble the spinning wheel from the television game show Wheel of Fortune. The new look is intended to promote the show, which will be taping in Seattle. Now, is that a true or false story? And they actually show a picture of the Space Needle here, but you can't trust photographs anymore. Have you guys really done that? Is the Space Needle really painted to look like the Wheel of Fortune? It can't. Say it ain't so. And I'm getting all kinds of faxes like this. Having been a citizen of this planet for a sizable length of time, it amazes me how a species could be so intelligent yet so narrow-minded with regard to visitors from other planets. Most Earthlings, including yourself, assume that for interstellar travel, the aliens must be of superior intelligence. It is not possible that although more advanced in travel techniques, they might be far behind in other areas of knowledge. For instance, you are by far the best late-night talk show host, but might not have the intelligence to become a great politician or a psychiatrist. Just a little late-night snack to ponder on. Keep up the good work. Well, number one, I'm smart enough to know that. I don't want to be a psychiatrist, and I certainly don't want to be a politician, and I'm very pleased doing what I'm doing. There is the Peter principle, and I do not want to ascend to it. And that is that somebody will eventually be promoted beyond their level of competence to a job for which they are not suited, fitted, nor competent. I have no illusions about wanting some greater position. I enjoy doing precisely what I'm doing and wouldn't change it for the world and have fought not to, as a matter of fact. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art Bell.
That's true.
Okay, you're probably not going to like what I have to say to you.
Well, this happens all the time.
Okay,
sir.
And I hope you don't hang up on me.
Well, I might.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay. I think you're copping out.
On what?
On the UFO thing. UFOs.
Really? You know, see, now here it was. Somebody called and said, do you believe or
right.
not believe?
Right.
And am I correct?
That's true.
And my answer was, I don't know. And that remains my answer. And it's not a cop-out. It's the truth. Do I believe that they're here? I have no idea.
Did you not see a UFO yourself?
Yes.
Then what's the big deal? What's going on?
I don't know where it came from.
You have listeners
Wait,
out there.
Wait, just one momento.
Okay.
I saw it, and I described it in very precise detail.
Right.
But for all I know, it came from Area 51 over the hill here. I have no way of knowing that it came from another star system or dimension. I don't know.
But you tried to explain it. Now, how would you like it if everybody just said to you, I don't believe it? How would you like that?
Well,
do you have people out
a lot
there
of people
that,
have said that.
What, huh?
A lot of people have said that to me.
Yeah, but you're really cutting people down all of a sudden.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You're
I was, no, sir. I was asked a question, and I gave an honest answer.
I'd say the last couple of weeks, you have really copped out on the people. Okay, what about the Roswell incident? You were so up on those pictures. It was unbelievable.
Wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's not true now. I will say now what I said then, and that is, it is either the real thing, or it is the most elaborate, best-done hoax ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still what I think today. Do I know for sure it's real? No. Have I ever said during this whole thing that I know for sure it's real? No.
But you cut people down.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No,
I really
you know,
okay, I get. I let's ask your audience out
how
there.
How does that cut people down?
Let's
give them an honest answer.
No, you have a way about you to where you put bad feelings to people. They want to explain something to you, and you're really negative about it. In fact,
like what?
You're just negative. Trust me.
Like what? If it is negative, thanks for the call, brother. But if it is negative to give you an honest answer, then by all means, you go right on ahead and regard me as negative. And I don't give absolute affirmative answers, you will learn as you listen, to things that I cannot lay my hand on or scientifically prove. I have a hell of a lot of interests in areas like UFOs, life after death, mysteries that we cannot answer. I will continue to investigate them avidly. But the question was, do I believe, as an article of faith, that we are being visited? And my honest answer is, I don't know. And if you regard that as negative, then I don't care. I don't care. It's an honest answer. There are a lot of things in this life that I do not know and will not accept as an article of faith. It's kind of like religion. People call me up, Art, this moment, accept the Lord. Do you accept the Lord? Do you accept everything about the Bible? No, I don't, automatically. And there are a lot of things that I don't have answers to. And so I'm not going to jack you around. If you ask me, if you come out and ask me a question like, do you believe they are here? I mean, can you absolutely say they are here? Will you say it? No, I won't. Sorry. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art, Libertarian Nationalist, Aurora, Colorado.
Hey.
How you doing?
Well, you're listening.
All right. Well, yeah, actually, just heard the first, the opening of your show and wondered if you'd had much conversation regarding the woman from Detroit.
A lot of it, yes.
I would think that the people who were standing by and cheering,
yes,
and chanting for her to jump could be charged as accessories.
No, I don't think legally. Morally, yeah.
If they were actually encouraging her attackers to do what they were doing.
Look, I've told a few of my callers to go jump in the lake. If one of them did it, does that mean I'm accessory somehow?
Well, Art, I'll tell you, with legal standing these days, Media Bypass magazine, the August issue.
Yeah, I know.
Said that.
Call us toll free at 1-800-618-8255. I think so.
They said that in Frank's home state of Massachusetts, that Army actually could have been charged with some kind of hate speech statute.
Hate speech. Oh, that's exactly correct. I think it is correct, yes.
So if somebody could be charged for calling somebody else a name, I would certainly think that people who are urging three thugs to attack a woman and then to urge her to jump off a bridge, knowing what state of mind a woman must have been in, could certainly face some sort
of charges. Well, a faxer, I think, had it a little bit earlier. Maybe they ought to be charged with conduct unbecoming a human. But I think there's really no legal charge they can lay on somebody. You know, look, the story stands. NBC finally had it right. It stands as a comment on the state of humanity. It stands as an indictment of modern society. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 22nd, 1995.
Here again I am. I'm catching up a little here. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art. What's going on? It's Mike in Bakersfield, KNZR.
Hi, Mike.
Well, I've heard a lot of bad news about killings and kids killing each other. I'd like to shed some good news tonight for you.
All right.
I had the privilege last night at 23 minutes after 5 of witnessing the birth of my daughter.
It is the most remarkable thing that a human being, I believe, sees while you're alive.
Yes, it is.
I witnessed the birth of my son as well.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing to compare to it, is there?
No, there isn't, actually. And there's nobody can tell you what it's like, and nobody can prepare you for what's there to come. I just thought I'd spread some good news. One question I'd like to ask you, though.
Sure.
Coming from a father, what advice, not just general societal advice, but your personal advice, would you give to a new father?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Let me think about it and listen on the air, all right?
All right. Oh, one more thing, Art.
Yes,
about
sir.
The aliens and that guy was talking about, that dual star system.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Who's to say that we're not picking up transmissions from their television shows?
Well, looking at daytime TV, it's possible.
That's just one thought to ponder.
Thank you, sir. Maybe the whole OJ trial is not of this earth. Advice to a new father. No, I don't have any. I really don't have any. I'm no Dr. Spock. Maybe closer to the one with the pointed ears than the one that used to tell you how to raise children. I don't have any advice. Except follow your heart. That's all you can do. So I'm sorry, I hope that doesn't disappoint you. I really don't have any advice. Somebody writes to me here and says, I live with this Seattle's Space Needle only a half mile from my front window. It has not been painted to look like the Wheel of Fortune. At night, the Space Needle looks like just like the flying saucer in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Boy, it does. It's incredible. But how would you know, unless your house is higher than the Space Needle, how could you see what's on top? Now, I don't know who sent this to me. I think it was just a joke. I'm hoping that's true. But it's actually painted just like the Wheel of Fortune. They wouldn't do that, though. They just wouldn't do that. The Space Needle is too sacred. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Please playing me back to me. I don't want to hear that. Hi, Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Charlie, liberal in California. 2 points. The first being is that, you know, what happened to this lady on the bridge, you know, if certainly if people were laughing at her and egging these guys on, that's one thing. But, you know, I've listened to several talk shows, and there have been people calling in saying they would have intervened. You know, there's a line between being a hero and being a stupid idiot. Anybody that would confront two armed guys, one weighing 300 pounds with a crowbar, is an idiot. You know, and so you.
But see, that's not the argument. Only an idiot would try to turn that into the argument. The question was not whether or not people were intervening or should have intervened or should have taken the chance to intervene. The question and the comment and the social problem is people cheering it on, even chanting for her to jump.
Well, I understand the problem there, but as far as intervening...
You understand the problem there? Well, okay, that is a problem. So what is your comment on that?
Well, we've had that problem for... let me tell you something. This is my second comment. I honestly think that people who think society's going downhill, yeah, there's problems, but these people who say there's a quickening...
Yeah?
That,
they're all wet, huh?
Well, let's put it this way. Human society is not in any... There are two things that could take society out. A full-scale nuclear war and a comet or a meteorite or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Both those things are extremely unlikely. As far as environmental problems, yeah, they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a serious problem into the next century. But there's nothing imminent that could take human beings out. Human society is going to be around for the next 100 years, probably. Now, whether society deteriorates and we live in a we live in a Mad Max type of society, that's possible.
You said 100 years. That's not very long.
Well, no, it's not very long. But people who say that, people that say human existence is on the brink of being gone, I think they're out of line in saying that. I think human beings are going to be around for a while.
Well, maybe they will. But maybe if they are, it will turn into your Mad Max scenario.
Well, yeah, it could go in that direction, but it could go in another direction. Who knows? But I know. But
well,
is
a person reasonably able to look at current events and discern a trend?
Well, yeah, you can discern the trend that society is deteriorating, but you can't discern this trend, which I think when you talk about the quickening, I think you're talking about, and excuse me if I'm wrong, I think you're talking about human extinction. And I don't think that is something that's imminent. It's something that's...
No, I'm not. Actually, you're wrong. I'm not talking about... As a matter of fact, I'm not ascribing, Charlie, and I really mean this, I'm not ascribing anything to it. I'm not saying it's biblical. I'm not saying it's religious. I'm not saying it's Armageddon. I'm not saying anything. I'm simply giving you an observation from having done this talk show for as long as I've done it. And I think it is an accurate observation.
Well, I think it's an observation, but I think the clarity there, because I think most of the people who call into your talk show and talk about the end of the earth, they're talking about human extinction. They're not talking about society deteriorating. They're talking about humans being gone. And I think those people who say that are wrong. Now, as far as there being violence in the streets, riots, disorder, in a totally different society in a few years, yeah, it's possible, but... I think it could go either way right now. I think we're right on the brink of going either way, and I think that's going to depend on a lot of factors.
If it did turn into a Mad Max kind of world, Charlie, what would you do?
What would I do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It depends on it. I certainly, let's put it this way. If it came down to either protecting civilization or protecting myself, I'm going to protect myself. And, you know, you have a lot of people call, you know, if there's some type of imminent danger, you'll have people calling in saying how civilized they'd be. Let me tell you something.
Would you use that service revolver? I mean, you're always calling for gun control, and you tell me you carry a gun, right?
Yes.
Part of your job. So would you use that?
Yeah, and actually, if society completely deteriorated, I'd have no problem with everybody having weapons. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. I mean, not fortunately, but that hasn't happened yet. So I don't think there's no need to. But no, I'd have no problem with everybody carrying a weapon if we lived in a Mad Max society.
But according to your world, you're trying to get the guns away from people. So if it did turn into that, they wouldn't have guns.
Yeah, but I think
people like you would be the Mad Maxes.
that's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good morning. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Turn your radio off, please.
Yes, I got it up. You know, on those alleged autopsy photos?
Yes.
Over the weekend, it was interesting. The BBC Science and Action mentioned them.
Yes, sir.
So did Deutsche Welle.
Mm-hmm.
They both tried to twist it around without actually saying they were untrue, but gave strong implications by going to outside experts, alleged experts. One fellow was had to do with human physiology, who claimed that one out of 2,000 Europeans has six fingers and has an
option. They do not.
Well, that's what the Deutsche Welle had. Now the BBC went in.
Well, okay, then end of the credibility on that one. Next one.
Well, the BBC interviewed taxi cab drivers and got their reactions, and then a psychiatrist who said that people who had great interest in these things ought to see.
Well, my God, there's another one. Now, taxi cab drivers in London, was it, sir?
Yeah, the BBC Science and Action. It was interesting, within an hour, switching the station. It was quarter to midnight on Saturday night, Central Time. Their show, they ended that up with that. And then on Deutsche Welle, they had it as part of their world news.
Well, it beats the hell out of gardening shows, and they spend a lot of time on gardening on the BBC. All right, sir, thank you very much for the call. Interview. Well, there's a meaningful scientific survey. The Roswell autopsy film. Real or fake? The following report, compiled from a survey of London taxi cab drivers. Real hard evidence. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Yes, this is Jim calling from Portland.
Hi, Jim.
You asked for proof that aliens were tampering with human evolution.
Well, I said there is none. Now, are you going to prove me wrong?
Yes. Well, there was an article in this month's Scientific American, and that was about an asteroid that hit the Earth, a very large one that hit the Earth only 2 million years ago.
So how does that prove alien intervention?
Well, they estimate that 10% of the Earth's crust was blasted up into the atmosphere.
Yeah, so?
Now, that is probably a larger asteroid than the one that killed the dinosaurs.
Okay.
So.
So what?
Now, there was no major extinction 2 million years ago of animal species on the planet. So why the difference?
I don't see, I'm sorry, I don't see how the asteroid or a comet or anything else that's plowed into Mother Earth proves alien intervention. Now, maybe I've missed something here.
Yeah, the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs 65 million years ago was a large asteroid. This one is probably larger, but there were no major extinctions after this.
Well, maybe there was no major life.
2 million years ago?
Well, you know, they say there was, but I mean, who knows? Sir, I don't see, you know, you started out the conversation by saying you don't believe, and so here's the proof. What's it proof of?
It's proof that the aliens operated differently 2 million years ago. Instead of, they replaced all the major species after they exterminated all life on Earth, as opposed to what they did 65 million years ago. They did not replace the dinosaurs.
Uh-huh. All right, sir, I'm converted. Thanks for the call. God. I mean, how is that supposed to prove anything? I'm very interested, of course, as you know, in looking toward trying to get proof of something, but a call like that discourages me. I mean, first of all, I don't know about what has or hasn't plowed into the Earth, but I fail to see how aliens have anything to do with it. On the other hand, listen to this story from the Herald News. Area farmers who have been swathing and baling hay in the early morning hours have had their long and tedious tasks enlivened considerably in recent weeks. Farmers from Bonanza to Klamath Falls have reported seeing unidentified flying objects overhead as they work. One rancher reportedly sighted a cylindrical object he said was the size of a football field. There have been 10 reports in the area since the early morning hours of July 31st. Now, that too proves nothing, but it is very interesting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, this is Shiloh from Fenway, Washington.
I have a cat named Shadow.
Shiloh.
Oh, Shiloh.
Yeah, I'd like to...
Too bad. I was about to be partial to you, but... Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. The person that said that the Space Needle wasn't painted like the wheel was wrong.
Oh, no. Now, do you know that for sure?
Yeah, it was on the local news.
They painted the top of it to look like the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, it was all the different colors.
It can't be true. It can't be true. I don't believe
it.
I don't believe it. You saw it on TV?
Yeah, on Seattle News.
How do you think the people of Seattle feel about that?
I have no idea, but I would think
it
would be...
Well, I'm going to find out. Are you sure it's true? Do you swear on your TV guide it's true?
I saw it on the news, not the TV guide.
Well, I know, but you swear on your TV guide with your hand on the guide?
But I would think it would be easier just to put this tarp over it than to paint it. Now, another question.
Yes?
Like, see the comet?
The comet, yes.
Say it was a spaceship.
Say it was.
And it was on an exodus to the nearest livable planet because their planet died, and they got in contact with the military here. Would you think they would shoot it out or let them come on the planet?
Well, let me put it this. Do you remember the Star Trek with the probe?
Star Trek IV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with the probe?
Mm-hmm.
If it is not a big rock, a snowball rock comet, then it's a probe. Just like the one in Star Trek.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Feed the whales.
Yeah.
See you later, sir. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I get a question first. Your first-time caller line?
Yes.
How do you know someone's a first-time caller when they call on it?
Well, because I have a really cool memory for voices. Now, occasionally somebody might fool me, but if I catch them fooling me, I bar them for life.
Okay.
And, you know, I do. They might get me once, twice, and then I nail them, and then that's it.
Okay. Let's see, I'm calling through Kogo.
Yes.
K-O-G-O.
Right.
And you're talking about the person that was jumping off the bridge. They had a couple incidents here where that happened.
Yes, sir.
And the main head fellow who's on the radio every day, who hires at the station, he was very in favor of the person jumping to ease the traffic. He was very cold about it. He called himself insensitive. But that's what he was doing. He was saying he wants the person to jump just to clear the traffic, that they don't have the right to do it. And I disagree with that, but anyway.
I find that hard to believe.
No, that's what he said. Yeah, he was very in favor of it, in favor of the person jumping just to clear the traffic. He said they had no right to back up.
Well, I refuse to believe somebody would seriously say that.
Oh, he's serious. He is. And he also criticizes you for your belief in UFOs, etc.
Well, that's cool. I'm used to that.
But,
you know, if I was a doll and, you know, people were sticking pins in me, you wouldn't be able to see my face for all the pins. So that's all right.
Yeah. And then earlier you were talking about religious people who are always or something, they're always pushing their morals or even standing on street corners preaching.
No, those are not the people I was criticizing. What I said was, I referred, of course, to the evangelical scandals that we had, but then I referred to people in my own life, people that I know that are just preachy as hell, and I mean really preachy, mm-hmm. about morality, little tiny sticky points of morality, preaching to me about my doing this or my doing that. And these people turned out to be thieves, cheaters, the very worst sorts of people you can imagine. And even after all of that was revealed, they still go on preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I myself personally like to pray to Jesus if I want to, but I have a T-shirt that I wear that says, "Jesus, protect me from your followers."
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
And it hit home. But also, let's see, I have a UFO Investigations T-shirt, too, that I got at a conference where I met Bob Exler.
Yes.
And I received some discrimination on that because I was in a gay rights parade marching with some friends and families, a straight contingent in the parade, and one of the fathers who was with the church there, I said, "Would you welcome gay aliens into it?" And he said, "No, we'll stick with humans."
Oh, God. All right, thank you very much. Yeah, what happens, you know, if we find out that there are aliens here, only they are, as a norm, a homosexual. That is to say, they are of one gender and reproduce in that manner. I mean, it's entirely possible. Two questions, then. A, would we reject them and go to war immediately with them? And would we allow them to march in Earth parades? Yeah, I get criticized all the time, you know, because it's 'cause I allow anybody to talk about anything here on the air, and whether that includes aliens or whatever else it is we happen to be talking about, and if you've been listening for a while now, you know it's anything on any given night. So who cares? I mean, life's too short. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and I am bound and determined to do this program the way I want to do it, which is to have it be an open forum, which is to have unscreened calls. And if some of these heroes out there who are criticizing me would like perhaps to try for a few hours to do what it is that I do and take unscreened calls, Then after that experience, after they have tasted the unexpected, the unexplained, sometimes the nearly intolerable, after they've tasted that, then they could bitch at me with some basis. But they don't. They hide behind their little screener TV screens. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
The board operator at KCMO in Kansas City, this is reference a call we had a lot earlier. Somehow, at the beginning of the program, KCMO got a switch in the wrong place or something, and there was rock and roll music on there for about 10 minutes, and then they got my show back on again. He called up and said, sorry. New at the job, threw the wrong switch. See, that kind of thing happens. So there you are. I will be on KCMO Kansas City during their morning show, I think around 9:30, somewhere in there. So if you're in Kansas City and you stay up that late, I'll be on the air. Probably a lot of people who listen to KCMO at 9:30 don't even know who I am. Night creature that I be. Right to the telephones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Kogo and also L.A.
Yes, sir.
In L.A. That situation in Detroit I don't think is an indictment of society. It's an indictment of this growing urban criminal subculture in every large city. And the story kind of reminds me of a man who was killed during the L.A. riots here in 1992. His name was Mr. Epstein, and he was actually lynched by a mob.
Reminds me of the story in New York where the woman was stabbed while everybody watched.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, many people were killed during the April 1992 riots, according to the L.A. Times, but they were never. No one was ever brought to justice. And the Times says it's because members of the community, the black community, are protecting these criminals. And I would like to see somebody stir up this pot because people like Mr. Epstein deserve justice.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, and... you might even say, how many times now has Rodney King been arrested, but not jailed?
He has an unlimited get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's sort of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know the L.A. Times won't even send reporters into many parts of that city now. And it's just like that lady who called in earlier said that there's just this huge population that wants what the other half has. And the only thing between them and the other half is the dwindling number of LAPD and sheriff's deputies.
That's a true statement. Yep, that was a good letter. As a matter of fact, thank you. If I can find that letter, I'll reread it. But here it is. I'm going to reread this. You people in L.A., you'll love this. Hi, Art, love the show. I'm an ex-wife of an LAPD officer. I can tell you my opinion of the whole O.J. Simpson-Mark Furman mess. I believe O.J. did it. And he will get off because of sloppy and or questionable work by LAPD, the coroner's office, crime lab, and prosecution. As for Mark Furman, I know his racism was not only tolerated by LAPD, but sponsored, fostered, and supported by it. Any officer who bucks the status quo won't be able to wear enough bulletproof vests. He or she will pay, most likely with his or her life. Now, I can't hate or outright condemn my ex-husband or his fellow officers. 'Cause I've seen how each one goes to war every day for as long as they last. Imagine fighting in Vietnam or Kuwait for 20 years. Those who do make it to retirement have totally altered outlooks than those of us who have led civilian lives. And let us civilians not forget, there's a vast population out there that feels no compunction to abide by the same laws we automatically obey. We are perceived as the holders of the goods they want, and the police are perceived as the enemy. I'm a civil servant, too, but I'm not expected to put my life on the line every day for anybody or everybody else. These officers are expected to do just that. Even their most vocal critics expect total sacrifice on the part of the police with just one 911 phone call, no matter what circumstances led to the call. What is the solution? I have no idea. I find it a pity, though, that Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman had to die like they did to bring the mess to light. Now, I bet you O.J. gets his kids back. There is absolutely no justice here on earth. Maybe when O.J. meets his maker. That's Jan from San Francisco. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello. Is this the Art Bell Show?
Yes, it is. Turn your radio off.
Yes, it's off now, sir.
Okay.
Hi. You were soliciting comments earlier about whether this is a quickening or not.
Right.
Yeah. Well, biblically speaking, and I'm not here to oppose nobody's opinion or nothing, but this is my opinion. Biblically speaking, Jesus said that we were in the last hour, or the last minute of the last hour. I don't think all this is really new. I really think instead that because of our modern technology and stuff, that we're just hearing about it more. But that's not to say that I'm in disagreement with the fact that it's happening. Actually, I'm saying that it's been happening for a long time.
Well, actually, I'm saying I've been doing this talk show for 11 years. During that 11 years, sir, I have had constant modern communications available to me, television, radio, wire services, all of the, with the exception maybe of Internet that's come lately, but otherwise...
Right.
I've had access to information for 11 years solid, doing a show every night, five nights a week.
Right.
This show, and then six nights a week otherwise. And I'm telling you that all events are indeed accelerating. It is true.
No, I believe. I didn't say I didn't believe they were accelerating. I'm just saying that these events have been happening on an accelerated basis since that time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and it sounds like just like what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm agreeing with you.
I see.
And I wanted to say one more thing. As far as not just children's eyes being glued together and such, but that the one gentleman earlier that commented on Democrats and Republicans, and he made it synonymous with socialism. I don't agree. I think he can be a Democrat and not be a socialist. And I think he can be a Republican and not be a socialist either, or the opposite of.
Well, I happen to agree with that. It's called the Great Middle, and I do agree with that. Dear Art, all those subhuman spectators should have their eyelids super glued together. Dear Art, what a bunch of BS. Answer this. Did you or did you not say to Mr. Morningstar that I too believe the earth is alive? Yes, I did say that. What proof do you have? What can you hold in your hands? Silence from Mr. Missouri, Mr. Nuts and Bolts, as I suspect. Not likely, Steve in Santa Barbara. Oh, I know who you are. I said exactly as you quoted me I, too, believe the earth is alive, and I do. Now, that is not saying that I said, the earth is alive, I know this to be a fact. Steve, read your own sentence. I, too, believe the earth is alive. I have a lot of beliefs, but a belief is very different than my stating something as a fact. Do you see that distinction, Steve? I'm not saying something is a fact. I'm not saying it is a scientifically verifiable fact. Believing something, that's a different story. I believe O.J. Simpson is guilty. I don't know it for sure, but I believe it. I generally believe there is a very good chance we are being visited from elsewhere. I believe there is a creator. I don't know any of those things to be absolutely true, Steve. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Lemoore, California.
Okay.
KMJ country.
KMJ, yes.
Yes. At the first of your program, you had a list of 40 ways to destroy the earth.
That's right.
I have one more to add to that list.
What would that be?
Okay, increase the speed limit from 55 to 85.
85 miles per hour?
Right. This would help deplete the ozone, use up more gas,
kill more people.
More trees, kill more people,
mm-hmm.
Take care of the population explosion. It would also help the employment.
More police, more ambulances, more hospital bills.
Right, more coroners.
We
would have to build more hospitals to contain all of the amputees. Great idea, huh?
We could insist that every person who drives a car have a gun in their glove compartment.
At least one.
So that traffic disputes could be settled with more finality.
Right.
All right, well, that's good, ma'am. You're on track. Thank you.
I enjoy your program. Keep it up.
Thank you. Have a good morning. Art, I took a spin on your webpage tonight. This is one of the best I've ever found. Myron McLeod and Keith Rowland have done a nice job with it. Keep playing in Peoria. I'm Don. Thank you, Don. I have not been on my own webpage. Isn't that pathetic? I'll have to do that. Here's yet another entry in the Message from Another Star system. If I were sending it, would be, quote, could you come over and play? Patricia in Woodstock, Illinois. Could you come over and play? Yeah, but I can't stay the night. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Radio Free America.
Well, there's a voice.
Well, I tell you what, it's harder and harder to get through to your program.
Well, I'm glad you've made it.
Well, I'm glad we got to hear from the sociopath from Kansas City. It sounds like he's drinking his midnight cocktail of sour grapefruit and lemon.
Ooh, he did sound sour, didn't he?
But he cracks me up. Hey, that Noah's Ark story, quite interesting, especially your caller last night, who seems to know a little about what's going on over there and the sonic reading that he was talking about.
That's why I let that call go on for a bit. That was a good call.
Oh, yeah. Art, I'm going to lobby here. You know, I've really wanted you to do that on either this show or on Dreamland, to have that guy that's doing the research.
I'd love to.
Also about the Ark of the Covenant.
Yep.
That's really fascinating because what do you think would happen if they had literal proof that the Genesis, that far back?
That it all happened as described.
I
think, first of all, there would be a certain percentage of the population that absolutely would not accept it no matter what. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what kind of scientific proof there would be. They would not accept it because it would spoil everything they believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of other people would turn to religion, that a lot of people, percentage-wise, maybe even the majority, would turn to religion.
don't you think it would be a huge threat for the powers that be, so to speak, to make that apparent?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I'll talk to you later.
See you. If they find the Ark on Ararat, and they're going to be the digging is as we speak beginning. You tell me what else it could be high up on Ararat. Hmm? Something, I saw the photographs. It's clearly in the shape of a ship, a very large ship, larger than the Queen Mary. How would that get up on a mountain? I believe the stats I heard quoted the other night on Encounters were that it is better than 100,000 to 1 that it is not anything from Mother Nature. Okay? Think about that. 100,000 to 1 that Mother Nature could have formed this perfect ship-like object up there on Mount Ararat. Coincidence that it was seen right after the earthquake there on the day the nation of Israel was formed? Boy, that's some coincidence, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello?
Mr. Bell.
That's me.
Yeah, I have a lot of empathy for you with the gentleman that called in and complained about you raising the subscription.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, hasn't he ever heard of inflation? You know, I subscribe to Harper's. I pay like $10, $12 a year. New Yorker, I pay like 33 cents an issue. They've been in business for 100 years. You're trying to put out something new.
Yep.
You know. What I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, the woman in Detroit.
Yes.
33-year-old. You recall Kitty Genovese in New York City?
I do, yes.
There were at least 40 people. You know, this occurred, you know, in the middle of the morning, too,
mm-hmm.
where a man was beating and raping her in front of a brownstone.
That's right.
And
everybody watched. They all looked out their windows.
They looked out. I think a couple people called, but in New York City, sometimes the police are... you know, a little slow in getting there. But they were so slow that he came back an hour later.
You know, let me say
and
this.
And killed her.
Sir, let me say this. Then, that many years ago, that story stood out. That story was horrifying and not typical and not something you heard every day.
I know.
And we were all shocked as hell, and nobody's ever forgotten it. Now, today... this kind of story is becoming routine.
Right. Now, you know, you're on KRAM here in St. Louis.
St. Louis, yes.
You know, and I have you on most nights. I fall asleep. You know, it's on low, you know. The people that follow you come on from 6 to 9.
Uh-huh.
They're young people that have been fired from several stations here in St. Louis.
Well, most people in radio, sir, have been fired... many times in their career.
But, I mean, they're two individuals that their producer announced. This is how I found out about this yesterday morning at 6 o'clock, because I hadn't read any papers over the weekend. Their producer announced it, and then they laugh and make a joke of it. And this Steve and JC that are on here following you on K-Ram
made a joke about, you mean...
laughed about the woman in Detroit, you know, because their whole show is, you know, they're in their mid to late 20s, and the whole show is just nonsense.
Is it a shock jock kind of thing?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. And
it's hard to imagine anything at all. Thank you for the call. Funny. At all funny about that situation. It is so sad that I really worry for all of us. And as I said, the New York City incident, you recall how shocking and awful that was. Today, I can hardly come on the air without hearing about some five-year-old's eyelids glued shut by daddy. One child who kills another, a lady jumping off a bridge. Mama throwing a baby out of a window, crack mom. You know, I really could go on and on and on. In other words, what once was shocking and very unusual today is becoming, I guess we're all getting a little numb. And I'm sorry, but it's getting to be the norm. I'm Art Bell, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
From John in Escondido. Dear Art, you're so negative. I wonder why. Today's current programming has a tendency to be that way. Heck, it's hip. It's what we do. We focus on negative because we like to know things are worse for others than for ourselves. It keeps the responsibility other people's, in quotes. We are selfish and spoiled. Art, to actually be responsible in this day and age is being made criminal. Therefore, more and more people are becoming criminal. They're caring less and less. It's really too bad. John. Thank you, John. Art. That's got to be one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. What if the aliens that came here, or are here, are all gay? How absolutely hysterical. I'm not gay, but I don't really give a... I can't read that word, sir. I don't give a... You know what? If somebody or anyone is, everyone freaks out too much about the whole subject, including the gay community. Well, I don't know. It's just one of those dumb things to consider. I mean, it's eminently possible, isn't it? If there are aliens, who's to say their reproductive systems mimic ours? Who's to say they even have different sexes? So, what if it was just one sex? We couldn't handle that, could we? We'd probably be at war, shooting them down. it's nighttime radio. Somebody else here asking about the ratings. You know, I don't, it's almost a good subject. I don't know why the ratings are so high for this program. Everywhere, not just in one place, but everywhere. The ratings are just absolutely flat out, unbelievably high. You tell me. There's people that are getting angry at me for it. They're actually getting angry at me for it. And I think it's because they don't understand it either. To them, they listen to the program and they go, you know, what is it? Why? How come? And this is, you know, these are some other broadcasters, and I wouldn't begin to know to tell them or even you or myself. I don't know why fully. I don't understand fully why. It has to do with the format of the program. There's no magic here. It's just open radio. As far as I can see, that's what seems to be doing it. It's just open line. Blah, 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 whatever comes up, radio. maybe they're angry about it because their formula is not achieving the same thing. And I guess I would only say, look, anytime you follow somebody's formula, it's like marching behind Rush Limbaugh, you know, in lockstep. We all do our shows that way. Then pretty soon there's just they're too much the same. There's just one Rush Limbaugh. Not a million of them out there. And there's, I'm thankful, I think, just one of me. And so I do the program the way I do it, and I'm thankful that it works this way. I don't want to make anybody angry about it. I don't even like feeling that anger. So I don't know what to say about it. I've got a couple of faxes about that here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Odd Bell.
That's me.
Your friend Charlie, Mr. Illiberal in California, certainly shows his mentality or lack thereof by his comments.
What he shows is his hypocrisy. Now, you notice he wants to take everybody's gun away, but he says if it turns into a Mad Max world, he's going to take his and, you know, be part of the Mad Max syndrome.
That is for sure. Any gentleman on the scene there would have certainly defended not only her life but her honor. I think if it turned into a Mad Max society, he would be roadkill.
Maybe it is turning into a Mad Max society. It sounds to me what just occurred up in Detroit is a big step in that direction.
Well, I think people take this whole quickening thing a little bit too far, but I do agree with you.
Do you believe or not believe that they have painted the entire top of the Space Needle as the Wheel of Fortune?
Well, as you know, I am in Bellingham, Washington, so I'm very close, and I doubt that very much so.
So you don't believe that?
No, I do not.
Would it be, in your estimation, a travesty if it was true?
If it was true, it would certainly be shine a negative light on our society.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. The west of the Rockies line is now open for Seattle, Washington only. We're going to settle this right now. Have they done this or not? Is this true or not? I almost refuse to believe it. Now, I know, don't send me any more photographs. Two people now have sent me photographs showing the top of the Space Needle painted as the Wheel of Fortune. I kid you not. It is the wheel. Now, I was there. I tried to broadcast from the Space Needle. That's a long story. But I refuse. I don't believe it. So the west of the Rockies line is open for Seattle residents who will tell us the truth about the Space Needle. It just can't be. Tell us it ain't so. Are you in Seattle?
Yes, I am.
You are? All right. What is your first name?
Dusty.
Dusty, are you on a speaker phone?
No, I'm not.
All right. Dusty, what do you know about this?
Well, I just picked up today's issue of the Tacoma News Tribune.
Yes, sir.
And the front page of the local section.
Yes, sir.
Has a giant color picture.
No.
From above the Space Needle.
No.
And true to life, there's the Wheel of Fortune.
No.
Yeah. Believe it or don't. What a travesty. I guess they're coming to town to film, so they painted the top of the needle to look like the wheel. Actually, I guess it would have been yesterday. It's the 22nd issue of the Tacoma News Tribune, Section B, front page, big color picture.
You swear this?
I'll fax you a copy of it.
No, I've got a copy. I mean, if this this must be the picture. God, I've got it here. It shows the closest. Let's see if I'm right. There's the $500. And the $350 and a blank spot in between.
And off to the left-hand side, you can see the bankrupt square.
Bankrupt, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, God, it's true.
Yeah. I don't know. You just can't tell with some of these people.
It's nearing the end, sir.
I'm telling you.
Have a good morning.
Hey, one comment for you.
Yeah, sure.
What happened to the Gold Rose Company?
Oh, they'll be back. The Gold Rose Company. As a matter of fact, I think they're already booked back, so they'll be on shortly.
Well, good, because I wanted to get one and didn't have a chance to ever write the number down.
Well, 'tis the season soon. You know, we'll head toward Christmas, and you'll hear them back on.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
Have a good night.
Yep, you too. No. Who can... How did this happen? The Space Needle is the symbol of Seattle. The symbol of Seattle. I mean, when you think of Seattle, other than the movie Sleepless in Seattle, you think of the Space Needle. How can this be? On my Seattle line, you're on the air. Are you in Seattle?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm calling Art Bell.
First time callers, area 702-727-1222. Oh, no, Joseph, you're not allowed to give your last name on the air?
Oh.
So give us only your first name, Joseph, right?
Right.
Where are you calling from, Joseph?
Arroyo Grande, California.
Oh, well, but I'm holding this open for Seattle.
Well, I guess I'll have to try again.
All right, thank you. Couple more Seattles. I mean, I sort of halfway think people are screwing with me here a little bit. It's just one of those things that couldn't be true. On my Seattle line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Bill from Ventura.
No, sir, I'm holding this line for Seattle.
Oh, you're still holding it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am, Bill. Thank you. I want at least a couple of more calls. I mean, I don't want to just depend on one or two calls. This is the kind of thing you need confirmation of. On my Seattle line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
I'm from Seattle.
You're from Seattle. All right. Turn your radio off.
I just did.
All right.
Off now.
What do you know?
Saw it yesterday. It's big, multicolored on the side. On the top, it's got the Wheel of Fortune.
The Wheel of Fortune.
So now the Seattle symbol
right.
is a little bit more colorful.
All right. Let's try this angle with you. How do you feel about that? How do you think Seattle feels about that? I mean, wait a minute. Let me even back up further. Am I right? Is the Space Needle the Seattle symbol? I mean, for the not only the nation, but the world, when you think about Seattle, you think about the Space Needle?
Pretty much. I really don't think about it that way, but I guess it could be to other states. I don't know.
So is there a sort of sacrilege to putting the Wheel of Fortune on it?
I think it's kind of stupid. It, you know, makes it kind of colorful, but that's about it.
Does it sadden you as a Seattle resident?
Yeah, pretty much.
All they're missing is a statue of Vanna White on top, you know?
Picture of Pat on the elevator.
You know how you, this is really going to seem irreverent, but you know, I believe it's down near Buenos Aires or in, somewhere in, where is it anyway? It's in, I think, maybe Brazil, where they have this very dramatic statue that they'll zoom in on with a helicopter. You've seen it, haven't you?
I might have, you describe it.
Somehow I see that except Vanna White on top of the Space Needle. I mean, it's a logical follow-up to what they... So this really is real, huh?
Yeah. I at first I didn't know it was a Wheel of Fortune. I just found out tonight that it was. All I could see from the side was, you know, red, yellow, and, you know, other colors.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right. I'll open the line for everybody now. It's true. I guess it's true. Ah, it's the quickening. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, hi. This is Jane in Seattle.
Good.
Can you hear me clearly?
Very clearly, yes.
Oh, good. It's true. They painted the Space Needle. My folks celebrated the 52nd wedding anniversary on top of the needle tonight.
Really?
Yes, really.
How is this? I mean, this must be... or is about to be, a big topic of talk radio in Seattle. I mean, I would like to know what Seattle people generally feel about this change.
Well, I decided not to worry about it too much because other topics that you cover on the air are much more brain-grappling than the painting of the Space Needle, and I'm just going to trust that eventually they'll repaint the Space Needle to its original pretty hues. You know, after the flap of Wheel of Fortune is over with, I'm trusting they will repaint it back to its typical Seattle grace.
Well, as I look at the picture here, you know, they could actually turn it into a, you know, in Las Vegas where they have the wheels that you spin?
Yes.
And a little ball could roll out from the top. Anyway, you did have something more serious. Even though, to me, I'll tell you, this is serious. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. I was just addressing the seriousness of the issues you usually cover on your program. And,
well, we cover anything, and I got this picture of the Space Needle, and I don't know, it seemed like sacrilege to me somehow.
Well, since we're down usually at the bottom and not flying over the needle, yeah. I guess we don't have to look at it quite in the same perspective as what you experience looking at it in the newspaper from the top. And I find it rather interesting and somewhat humorous, and I really can't take it that seriously because up to this point I've not flown over the needle, but it looks like I was over the needle about 2 weeks ago coming back from...
Well, now, wait a minute now. The restaurant is above that, right?
I believe the great painting is above the restaurant part.
Oh, it is?
Visible from the air is my understanding.
Well, okay. Oh, that's right. The restaurant is literally in the round area.
Yes, it is.
So even the people in the restaurant don't have to look at it, really.
That's true. All they have to look at, really, are the gorgeous Olympics and the gorgeous Cascades and the sunsets and the sunrises and the rainbows we have around here. That's what...
Now, would you feel that it would be going too far to have a giant statue of Vanna White on top?
That's going way too far. I prefer a replica of the Statue of Liberty to a statue of Vanna White. Then I would object.
You know, with the state of America today, my dear lady, a lot of people would not be able to tell the difference.
Isn't that the truth?
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
And you, take care. You must continue to laugh occasionally. Even at things that don't seem like they should be laughed at, so as not to cry. Hey, I forgot to tell you. I got a copy of Patrick's check. You know, Patrick of last night? Patrick of the $95,000? I've got a copy of his check as a GIF picture on our computer system. And so if you would like to see the check that Patrick deposited to get his 95 grand, call our bulletin board service. It is called simplycheck.gif. And you know what I want now? I want a GIF picture of the Space Needle. Anybody who can send that to me, attach it to email or something on AOL. If anybody's got a good quality picture, I mean, this is the most incredible, incredible, incredible thing you've ever seen in your whole life. I would love to have a photograph of that, a good one, as a GIF photograph, and I will put that up on my bulletin board, too. It's actually not my bulletin board, by the way. It's put on by a kindly gentleman here in Pahrump, Nevada. Actually, he's a pretty cool guy. He's a retired FBI.
See the kind of friends you have, Art?
East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. This is OJ in Kansas City.
How you doing?
KCMO, doing
yes.
Fine.
I think I'm going to be on the morning show there this morning.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That's what I said.
You stay up that late?
Well, it's 9:30 there. It'd be 7:30 here. Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Right.
You know, it's not as easy to be chivalrous and save damsels as it used to be.
Apparently. Not even in vogue anymore.
No. First of all, you have to have a fairly large arsenal to carry around with you because the first thing you have to do is kill the perpetrators so they can't sue you. Then you have to kill the witnesses so they can't finger you. Then you have to make sure there aren't any TV people around. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Well, you're exactly right.
Unfortunately, that's true.
A little cynical presentation, but the truth of the matter is that there is a step from that, or in other words, not participating, not jumping into the middle of it, but gee whiz, folks, to cheering and chanting for someone to kill themselves. Now, please.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I tell you. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what it costs, but I hope it doesn't present itself to me. I'm too young to go to jail. All right, thank you for being there.
Yeah, thank you for calling, sir. Have a good morning. on the first time caller line. You are on the air.
Oh, Art, let me turn my radio down.
That's good. Do that.
Whoops, sorry.
That's all right. You are a first time caller.
Yes,
right?
I am. Uh-huh. First time caller on any show.
Oh my. All right.
I wanted to tell you about a little tip for disciplining kitties. I heard you mention one time you had to spank yours every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just keep a little water gun next to you. You don't even have to get out of your chair.
Well, see, I have no problems of that sort. The problems occur, my cats are inside cats. I don't let them out. And if they make a run for the door.
Oh, I see.
Then they get themselves a swat on the tail end. And cats take it rough.
Yes.
I mean, they really do. They sulk.
Yes, they do. But I thought you meant like furniture scratching and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, it's for, no. It's for their own good.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it is. Yeah, mine are indoor cats, too. And I wanted to mention one more thing.
Yes.
Asking one time about what you thought people would do if there was a comet was going to hit the Earth.
Yeah, if you had days or weeks or months,
mm-hmm,
or even years.
Yeah. I think they say all people are really three people. The person you think you are, the person other people think they are, think you are, and the person you really are. I think we'd all become the people we really are.
And so then what result would that yield?
I think that people would just be surprised. The masks would all come off. I mean...
Well, okay, I'm trying to pin you to the wall here. When they did,
mm-hmm,
what kind of society would we have? I mean, would everybody quietly go home to be with their loved ones? Would there be mostly rape, pillage, Mad Max time? Or?
I think most of them would probably go home to be with their families.
How much Mad Maxing would there be?
Oh, probably less than there is now.
Really?
I think so, uh-huh.
Well, that might be all right for a period of time.
Yeah, I think that when it came down to it, and you knew you only had a certain amount of time, the things that were important in life would come out.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 22nd, 1995.
I'm wondering how our society is going to absorb this whole Roswell autopsy film. It's a very interesting question. It will depend, of course, on how they present it. If it's with a wink and nod and a chuckle, maybe it'll just roll over everybody. If it is presented seriously, there may be an impact on society. Art, the horrendous things that are taking place in our current world makes one wonder if somehow as a species we are thinning out our own overpopulation problems. Maybe. Perhaps there is a kind of species consciousness that works within the balance of nature, and this is simply man's way of keeping that balance in check. Sort of a lemming kind of deal, right? Or perhaps our world is but a mere image of Sodom and Gomorrah, oh boy. Remember, there were many, many atrocities taking place there, from open murders, child molestation, homosexuality, bestiality, stealing. Are we doomed to repeat the past because we did not learn from history? But, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, remember God sent his messengers to collect and rescue the few godly people from that place before God utterly destroyed it. Something to think about. Carol, KFYI. Well, could be. Could be that if they discover it is indeed the Ark on Ararat, that people will begin to do some deep thinking. In other words, at one point previously, God saved those who were in the Ark. Sort of drowned everybody like so many ants in a bucket with a bucket of water tossed on them. I mean, that's about exactly what it amounted to, right? So if they find the Ark up there, and that's true, it's going to provoke a lot of very deep thought, isn't it? Because what was done once certainly could be done again. History and Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, anyway. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, Art.
Hello.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Pleasantdale, Nebraska.
Okay. Glad to have you.
Yeah, hey. First of all, aliens of one gender would be asexual, not homosexual.
Well, I know. I said that, asexual. But, I mean, to a heterosexual, mainly a heterosexual people, they would seem homosexual.
Yeah, I guess, but then brothers and sisters may be arguing over who gets to date one.
Well, there would be some of that.
Really, though, which do you prefer, Dogs and Cats Revisited or How the Earth is a Living Being?
Let's go with the latter.
Okay. Well, you know, the theory on global warming, the depletion of the ozone, first of all.
Yes.
You notice all the thunderstorms we have?
Yeah.
Lightning creates what? Ozone.
Right.
Earth's fixing itself.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
You bet.
See you later. You guys have got to see the Space Needle. I would not have believed it. Actually, even seeing the photograph, I did not believe it. And it shows you how you can be in doubt about things. They sent me the photograph. I saw it. It's a Wheel of Fortune, for real. Painted on the entire top of the Space Needle. And it's one of those things you would expect to see, you know, a doctored photograph. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't this funny, Art? It's real. I bet there's going to be a controversy in Seattle. Maybe we ought to have one here. I could do that. I wonder if I could find somebody in favor of doing this and get somebody over on the other side. That'd make great debate, wouldn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art. This is Steve Pollan from Tempe, Arizona.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, I'm kind of curious about this film of the alien autopsy.
Yes.
Are they going to make it available to the public in its complete, you know, what they have left of the film?
Well, I don't know whether we're going to get it all, but I know we're going to get a good, healthy dose on August 28th. It's being promoed now on Fox.
Are they going to actually show a good portion of it, or are they just going to give us a little tease?
I think a pretty good portion.
Huh. That's going to be interesting, then. Are you or your show or anybody affiliated with you going to be... are you going to be making the videotape itself available to the public?
Well, no. The owner of the copyright, who gave us permission to publish, Sam Tilley, is already making it available. You can get a video or something.
I thought maybe he would.
Or if you're smart, you just run your VCR when they broadcast it on the 28th.
I'm planning on that anyway, but.
So there you are.
I was just wondering if they're going to show the craft pieces at all.
You know, somebody sent me a wonderful gift. Thank you. I don't know about the pieces. I think they may. Somebody sent me in a glass tube the allegedly the symbols that were recovered on a piece from Roswell, and I have that. And they do look kind of like hieroglyphics. That's as close as I can come. And it is supposedly an accurate reproduction of those, and I've got that. It's encased in glass in a tube. It's really kind of neat. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
KGMS, Radio California.
Well, hello.
Hey, you know why your show's so good?
No.
Well, because you focus on the callers, and they feel important. That's why.
Okay. I'm not
it's
sure
true.
That's true. I mean, I'm not even nice to everybody.
I know, but the callers are kind of like the show, and you're just there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I really don't understand this whole theory about if we find out, like, there's aliens and extraterrestrial life, that the world's going to fall apart. What are we, like a bunch of kids finding out that there's really no Santa Claus?
Yep.
I think that's ridiculous. I think everybody's blowing that part way out of proportion.
Well, then you don't properly understand the religious beliefs of people and what would happen when they're challenged. I mean, look at the wars around the world, dear lady. They're fought over differences in religious views.
Well, then maybe it would be a good thing.
Well, but don't minimize it. I mean, if something came along that destroyed or strongly challenged religious views, I assure you, blood would flow. Alien and human.
Alien, I know. I think that people are so stubborn that it probably would make any difference at all. And they go right on believing whatever it is they believe. You know, saying, well, you're not real, or something like that.
Well, I'm sure, you know, a lot of that's going to go on after the showing of the Santilli film.
I know, I can't wait to see that. Is it like on a show, or are they just showing it?
Well, it's a special.
Ah, okay. Because I don't really watch TV very much.
Well, be sure to watch this.
I will. Good night.
And good night to you. It will depend on the presentation. But there's going to be a lot of reaction to it. And a lot of it is not going to be positive. Which probably means that even if there really was sudden absolute proof of aliens, a substantial portion of the population simply would refuse to believe it. Or anything else like that. I mean, maybe we have arrived in the day and age where no matter how good the proof of anything, it will not matter. People will doubt. For me, there is a threshold of proof. A scientific proof. What is science? It is the ability to prove something by repeating it and achieving the same result time after time. You can prove something. So there is a threshold. It's a fairly stiff and a severe one, but I will accept something as scientific fact at a certain point. That threshold for me has not been reached with regard to aliens, or abductions, or crop circles, or life after death, or our maker, or a lot of things. I have not reached that threshold of proof. And I hope that you understand, some of you. I am intensely fascinated with and pursue these topics. Do not translate that to, I'm saying it is so, because I won't do that until I get to that threshold of proof. West of the... Oops, would have been. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Dick calling from Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Well, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
You've discussed this, and I've missed it, but this is something I'd like to bring up concerning the pictures of the aliens.
Sure.
There have been so many people who claim to have been abducted, right?
Yes.
Have any of them looked at the picture and said, oh, these are the people that have been coming and getting me?
Nobody I've talked to yet. Well, one lady.
What did she say about it?
Those are the people that got me. Roughly that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I did talk to one lady who said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that if there are the thousands of people that are being abducted night after night, that some of them would come forward and say yes or no. It's a very, very interesting thing.
You've got to remember, other than, say, my newsletter, which, you know, got permission to publish these photos, and some other various leaks on Internet and so forth, the general public has not yet seen these.
Well, you're right there. I mean, I'm a nethead, so I'm on the World Wide Web all the time, and I've seen it for weeks. So, yeah, I guess that they haven't been widely distributed.
How do you think the American public will absorb this information? It's a hell of a question. I mean, when they show it, if they just show it, what do you think will be the result?
Well, I don't know, because I consider myself a reasonably intelligent human being, and for years the subject of UFOs was something that I never really thought about. You know, I thought, well, yeah, there probably are aliens. I don't know if they're coming or not. I saw so much of the tabloid stuff, and one night driving home from work, I happened upon your show, Dreamland.
Yes.
You were interviewing John Mack. And
yes.
My goodness. And I went home and listened to it till late in the night, and I went, these guys aren't crazy.
Oh, no.
And so I started listening to your show, and I started reading the literature, and there is this wealth of information from credible sources.
I know.
That people don't know anything about. It just isn't out there.
I know.
I'm a reporter at a television station in Hawaii. And
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
and this, if I tried to do a story on any of this, and I did, we had those sightings in Kaneohe last January with some lights in the sky.
I recall.
Yeah, and my news director said, well, we can't put this on the air. This is crazy. It's just too, there has been such, I believe, such a good job of discrediting this,
mm-hmm.
that the general public, it just goes right over their head. They just think it's tabloid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I really appreciate your comments. Thank you. I am past the point of letting it bother me. As I say, it's an open-line talk show, and a lot of you have decided you've gathered here to talk about certain topics. I'm not going to stop you. I'm fascinated by them. I've been investigating them for years. I will continue to do so, always in the hope that we will together approach that threshold of proof. And so you keep working toward that. In the meantime, these are all fascinating things, and I, for one, will continue to pursue them until they come and take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. Oh, remember that one? Got to be old enough for that one, too. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Calling from KEX, Portland.
Yes, sir.
The only thing that I find surprising in that Detroit fiasco is that popcorn and candy apples weren't sold at that thing. It seems that lately, you know, you've talked about on your show before, the desensitization of human life in this country seems to be rampant.
Yeah.
I volunteer for a child abuse hotline about four times a month, and the rancid, disgusting puss of behavior I hear, it saddens me.
Okay, here's another one. I mean, these are just all over the place this morning. Listen to this. Hi, Art. Here's a local news story you may want to comment on. A local man with learning disabilities is being tried for the child rape of his 15-year-old daughter. However, the girl is refusing to testify. She does not want him convicted. So, the judge has thrown her in juvenile detention and or under house arrest until she takes the stand. It's been about a week so far, and she is still not willing to testify. Dale, listening to KVI/Como.
Sad commentary.
Yeah.
Also, if I may add one story to the two ones, the two you mentioned earlier about the Portland and Washington area.
Sure.
I think last week a 16-year-old boy and a 17-year-old friend killed the parents of the 16-year-old. And then if that wasn't bad enough, they took the 5-year-old little brother and drowned him in the bathtub.
Oh. My God.
I don't, you know, like you say, maybe that quickening thing, maybe there is something really to that.
But I think there is.
Yeah, life doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. And I'm not saying everybody, but like I say, that hotline I work for, there's a lot of people that just don't give a rat, you know.
I know. I thank you for the call, sir. Yeah, the quickening is real. It's real. I've been doing this talk show, this particular talk show, for 11 years now. 11 years. And I can tell you, during that 11 years, I've always had access to all the news that is the news that's worth reporting, as they say. And events, crime, social misbehavior, the lessening of the worth of life, our political system, our institutions, everything, events have been accelerating and deteriorating, and it is real, and I choose to call it the quickening. It's just a word, but it describes a whole range of events that are accelerating at an incredible pace. It is something to see. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
KMPC Land.
In Los Angeles. Yes.
Hey, remember when they were talking about, this goes back a little bit in time, but about how the, gang people were putting the damper on drive-by shootings, you know, in L.A.?
Well, it was the Mexican Mafia, sir.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think that's a bunch of hooey, because they had recently, within the last 2 weeks, a shooting up in Boyle Heights where a 14-year-old kid was killed. A news crew went around and started interviewing the people in the neighborhood, and they said, if anything, the shootings on the street are worse than they've ever been. So I think there's a little bit of fallacy there as far as, you know, the what effect this has been having as far as, you know, the...
Well, maybe it had an effect and a very short one.
Yeah. Hey, when you were talking about genderless aliens...
Yes, that's right.
Well, what would these prophylactic companies do?
They would still need prophylactics, sir, because even aliens of a single gender, which presumably would have, you know, fingertip to fingertip, or whatever it would be, however their mating habits would be, would still have concerns about not wanting to have little alien children when they didn't want to have little alien children. So no doubt those companies would simply adapt. And I don't want to say any more about that. We're going to break here, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 22nd, 1995.
Well, this is just what I needed to top off my morning. It's from Martin. Up in Como country, KVI country, Wheel of Fortune country. Can't believe it. Hi, Art. I just heard on the 3 a.m. news that several teenagers are being held on charges of animal cruelty. Apparently, they hung two cats at a cemetery in the Queen Anne Hill area of Seattle. Maybe they're related to Stephen King of Pet Cemetery fame. In any event, the quickening moves on. However, for these kids, it may be the slowing. Washington state laws makes deliberate acts of cruelty to animals a felony. And so it should be. You know, if I were to add up the stories I've had out throughout the night tonight and read them all at once as a 10-minute newscast, I would leave you in tears. I'm serious. The cruelty of human beings to human beings and to animals and to everything around them has grown to the point where you could take a night like tonight, combine the stories, put them all together, and probably take some of the strongest people out there to tears. They're saying now this girl didn't jump, she was pushed off the bridge. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Mr. Bell?
Hello?
Yes. I was just listening to what you're talking about, cats and kittens.
Where are you?
I'm in St. Louis.
Yes, sir. Turn your radio off, sir.
I have my radio off.
Okay. No, you don't. Thanks for the call. A wild card line, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Art. This is Bill from Portland, KEX.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, can I just run one quick thing about Absolutely Fresh Flowers?
Sure.
It's a great deal. I've done it myself. The one little teeny flaw that I found in it was that I sent them to my wife as a surprise, and I put on the card, guess who, and they signed my name at the bottom. But that's just a minor flaw. The deal is astronomical.
Wait a minute now. You send them to your wife, and it was supposed to just say, guess who?
Well, they asked.
But they actually put your name when you didn't want them to. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if it was. They asked who they were from, and I said...
No, I just want to get straight what happened. You wanted just guess who on the card without a name?
Well, they asked me who it was from, and I said, well...
Please answer my question first. You sent it, and your instructions were to just put guess who on it?
Yes.
Not your name?
No.
Thank you. Maybe they figured they were doing you a favor.
They did. They did all around, believe me. On this subject about that poor gal in that bridge incident,
yes.
I've been in towing for years, and I tell you, if you can put a ring and a curtain around an accident scene of whatever magnitude, you could get more money out of it than the Tyson fight. I tell you, the people out there are sick with this. And I've been to dozens and dozens of fatalities, and I've seen more accidents from the rubbernecks going the other way.
Yeah.
You know, the fender benders and the bumper
bumping. But still, sir, it's a long way from that to chanting, jump, 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 or whatever.
I don't know. I've been there at the fatalities and stuff and seen the people robbed, their cars pillaged. I tell you, people don't have a conscience over any of this stuff anymore. And I might be wrong. It was my understanding that she had bumped a couple cars before this happened.
Yeah.
On a hit and run.
Might have.
Yeah. I tell you, the frustrations get so high anymore. It's just unbelievable how people act. And being around the accidents that I've been around and stuff, I was just in one the other morning, you know, at the scene of one. And it's a sad situation all around. But the people that are the gawkers.
Yes.
And the rubbernecks. And the comments, you know, in one turn, the police get battered down with, you know, this Rodney King and this Tyson, Simpson trial and all that. But they don't give them enough credit, really, out there from what they do on the sidelines.
I know.
Helping people out. They
I
really
know.
Do. And the firemen, I tell you, don't get any credit. These guys are outstanding people for it.
I know. But the police particularly now... probably have never in America been at a lower point with regard to respect and support. I don't think they've ever been at a lower point, have they?
I don't believe so. They've been kind of shunned into their own little group, you know, and they're just kind of amongst themselves as friends and their own personal tight-knit family.
All right, thanks for the call, sir. From Steve. Now, Steve... is the guy who faxed about the living earth. Remember Steve? He was the guy I put on the air with my guest Sunday on Dreamland. Dear Art, he says, point taken. I suppose the difference between you and I is that I will not believe anything anyone tells me when speaking of the paranormal. Words don't do it for me. Now, I do understand that sometimes a theory can jive with one's own personal experiences. I'm not a bomb thrower, but when I was in college, I had many debates about the living Earth idea. As long as I've been arguing this subject, nobody has ever presented anything more than a feeling for evidence. I don't mean to insult your beliefs, sorry if I have. I've been around the world more than once. I've seen things that I would not think could happen. I just think it's important to separate what is known from what could be. It could be the black helicopters are out there to do unspeakable harm. But we use our common sense to judge these claims. So, let me ask you this, and I don't mean to be confrontational, in all seriousness. What experiences of yours, or things you have learned, that lean you in the direction of believing, not knowing as fact, the earth is of a consciousness? What is it that makes you not dismiss this as just so much rubbish? I'm genuinely interested. Steve in Santa Barbara. Boy, Steve, here we go again. First of all, I'm not suggesting, Steve, the earth has a consciousness as you and I define it in our human condition. However, the earth is a balanced ecology. Call it nature, call it God, call it whatever it pleases you to call it, but there is a balance that exists, and so that in a very real sense, I'm not saying there is a consciousness, I'm saying that the earth is an organism itself, a living, thriving organism that reacts as an organism would, perhaps in self-defense, perhaps in effect in gratitude, if challenged, if irritated, that it would act to correct its own environment. As the caller said, lots of lightning, lots of ozone, lots of hot weather that will end up in effect balancing something else. It's the best I can do, Steve. I believe the earth is in that sense a living entity. Not necessarily a conscious entity, as we define consciousness, though I don't rule out that possibility, but simply alive in the sense I just gave you. Best I can do, Steve. First time caller line, you're on the air. No, he gave up. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Aaron, the atheist, calling from Fairhaven, Washington.
Atheist, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not afraid to admit it.
No God. Is that right?
Never seen any evidence for any sort of supernatural being.
Well, I guess I would have to say then, if that's the definition of an atheist, then I'm one too. But I'm not. In other words, even though I can't see it and put my hand on it, I don't declare it not to be any more than I declare it to be. I declare it possible, even probable, and I don't see, I have as much trouble with your position as I have trying to come to terms with my own. How can you know there is not something?
I think you're laboring under an ill definition of what atheism is.
Really?
Not actually.
I thought atheism was a belief system, much as belief in absolute belief in a creator is, that you believe there is no such thing, dead, gone, quiet, nothingness, the end.
Philosophical atheism is not the belief that no God exists. It is the absence of any belief in any God.
That's a pretty thin line there, sir.
Well, you talk a lot about science, and my position is, strictly speaking, scientific. And according to your criterion, you also have to entertain the possibility of leprechauns and gnomes, trolls and any other such supernatural.
Well, I do. It could be.
Why waste your time with such silliness and such superstition?
Well, that's fine to say until you get meet a leprechaun.
I cannot disprove the existence of any god, but as Bertrand Russell once said, neither can I disprove the existence of Zeus or any of the other myriad of deities in ancient Greece or in ancient Rome.
Well, to me, that makes you from Missouri, not an atheist.
When you move above and beyond the evidence, you can say whatever you want to because you've unfettered yourself from factuality.
From factuality?
I can't actually invalidate any claim that any believer makes because it isn't falsifiable in practice or even in principle. For instance, if you were to tell me that God exists...
I wouldn't.
I said, for instance.
Yes.
If you said that, for instance, then I would ask you, how could I attempt to
prove
it positively? How could I attempt to verify that? Where is this God?
Yes.
Where can I meet him face to face? And I might say a bit cynically, why is he such a hidden God? I'm here.
Why does he let the babies die?
Hey.
If your God is good, why does he allow tragedy? Why does he allow people to be pushed off bridges for automobile accidents?
You did have a caller on who was, you guys were talking about infants dying before baptism and thus
I recall, yes.
St. Augustine, very famous Christian philosopher, the early Middle Ages, he was very adamant and explicit that any infant that in fact perished before baptism was condemned and consigned
I'm aware
to eternal
punishment. Yes, yes, I know.
This is a Christian doctrine, and it's easily ascertainable throughout the good book.
Well, I don't think you're an atheist.
Well,
you're an agnostic.
The believers make me feel like an atheist.
Well, I know, but go look it up. You're really an agnostic.
No, agnosticism is dishonest atheism. If you have no belief in a God, you're an atheist.
An atheist, I believes, as an article of faith, there is not a God.
An atheist, strictly speaking, again, is somebody without a belief in a God. That's
okay, so by then your own definition, you're not one.
I said that I don't have a belief in a God. That makes me an atheist.
If you, as an article of faith, believe there is not a God.
It's not an article of faith.
It's not.
No.
In other words, you can't prove it one way or the other?
I don't have to prove anything. I'm not the one making the claim.
You're an agnostic.
Label me and negate me. I don't care.
Okay, I can do that. I'm a talker.
I respect your position, though, that you're interested in the great mysteries of life.
Well, should we not be? In other words, isn't investigation or continuing and striving to reach that threshold of proof that you and I would both like, isn't that important?
Absolutely. I would even go so far as to call myself a God seeker. I just have not as yet found anything.
All right, sir. Thank you. Believe me, as I understand the definition of atheist, you are not one. But if you want to call yourself that, sir, suits me. I'm not bothered by it. You call yourself anything you want. I just don't think you are. I don't think there are a lot of atheists out there any more than... We'll be right back. On our West of the Rockies line, you're on the air. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Mark in Honolulu.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing? You've had a really interesting show tonight.
Thank you.
And you're absolutely correct. My facts, it was in a total panic. It was absolutely fantastic flowers. Because she really called me in a panic, and she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've absolutely ran out of vases. I don't know where I'm going to put all these things. They're absolutely wonderful. I got big marks.
Thank you for calling and verifying that.
Yeah, I wanted to also say that if, you know, like with Santilli's upcoming release and all that kind of stuff, if people really got on to the fact, if it was so, not saying it is,
But if it was so, and say maybe there was just a mass landing so that everybody in the world could really see that there were was other intelligent life in the universe, and we weren't the only ones created in God's image, my goodness, I think a whole lot of people would be back to the 20 stock crash. A lot of people would be running around very, very numb.
All right, let me present you with an alternative idea. Suppose somehow these people did have really good transportation, and so they made it here, but when they came down off the ramp, they were like Dumb and Dumber.
They had high technology, but they'd been dumbed down in their education system.
So they were total twerps that came down off the ramp. How would we treat them?
That would be a good question. I wouldn't know. I would imagine under, at least in this country, I think that most things, depending on how many there were actually there, if there was just a shipload, they'd probably be whisked off.
No, I'm going with your scenario, that they would be landing all over. There would be thousands and thousands of them, and they were all mental...
basket cases.
Basket cases, that's right. Now, as you know, our Constitution prohibits slavery of human beings.
Well, yeah, supposedly, but I would imagine that under the circumstances right now, I would say the scenario would go that they would be put institutionalized and studied, and their technology would be whisked away and reverse engineered as quick as they possibly could and use it for other purposes. I don't really think that the whole world would be so benevolent as to give them a box each of fresh flowers and thank them for dropping by and ask them when they're coming back.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Have a good morning. First-time caller line. We're getting short on time here. You're on the air.
Hey, good deal, Art. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Where are you?
I am in Everett, Washington.
Everett. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
I wanted to say something about the Wheel of Fortune deal.
Oh.
Just real quick.
Yes.
I guess Vanna White was downtown in Seattle at the Pike Place Market.
Yes.
You ever heard of that place?
I have, yes.
Yeah, and she was tossing fish at the fish market.
She was?
Yes, that's what I heard on the radio this afternoon. So.
Uh-huh.
But,
Would you think that it would... I mean, how do you feel about having this on the Space Needle? I want your true feelings.
Well, you know, I don't think that we really need it. I mean, it's kind of a defacement of something that... I mean, if you look at products that come from Washington State...
Isn't the Space Needle sort of sacred, in a way, for Seattle?
I think it is. You look at products that come from Washington State that go all over the world, and you see pictures of the Space Needle and everything, and you just... I don't know. It kind of makes me sick to think that we are so commercialized in today's world that we need to see things like that.
I can only see it topped off with a rotating... giant statue of Vanna White.
Yeah, that's about as far as they could go. That's about the only way they can top it, so to say, I guess.
Well, maybe they painted it all up there with water-soluble paint, and God knows you get lots of rain in Seattle, so...
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a quickening. I gotta go, sir. We're out of time. So, tell America good night.
Hey, America. Good night, and thanks a lot, Art. We'll talk to you some other time.
All right. That's it. Fox says we gotta go. I can't believe it. We'll be back again tomorrow, I think.